Thank you, Brother Collins. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's clap our hands to the Lord a little bit. What an awesome God. I was mentioning to Brother Jordan and Brother Jason, who came with me tonight. This is Brother Will Banks' son, Jason, that you know, and Brother Jordan. And while people were getting the Holy Ghost, I said, no, a woman who is pregnant with child, they kind of know by what the doctor says when they're supposed to have this baby. And the longer that it goes, they really want to have that baby. And all the women say amen. Especially that 8.5 month and 9 month. But a church who is pregnant, that woman really doesn't know. Now, you know, water breaks and then you need to get to the hospital. But that precise time. So he says October the 2nd or October the 4th or the 9th. That's close. But you never do know, because some of them come early, some come late. A church, this church is pregnant. And that's why that you never know when you're going to give birth to somebody. That's what happened tonight. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You don't know when they're going to get the Holy Ghost. You just know that there's going to be a birth. And as long as this church has people in it who need the Holy Ghost, then you are pregnant. And it doesn't matter when. It could happen at a prayer meeting. It could happen on a Sunday morning, a Saturday night. It could happen in a Bible study. But you got to stay pregnant with people so God can give birth. I thank God tonight that there were some births made around here of the Spirit and of the water. Hallelujah. We count it an honor to be here tonight. I thank you for letting us be here, Pastor. I know you're not here, but your spirit is here. And everywhere I look, I see Pastor Sutton. I see it in you, and I see it in you, and I see it in you, because he has left his mark upon everybody in this church. So even though he is not here, he is here, because your life has been so impacted by your pastor that you become a duplicate. And that's why I like to see the duplication and reproduction of a pastor in people, because you just know that what he is, so many of you are, and that's the way that it should be. A church always takes up on the personality of its pastor. It does that. If he's a worshiper, if he's a dancer, then they're going to take on that, and this church has done that. So thank you. It is 8:03, if you want to know, so you won't have to turn around after a while and see what time it is. I'll try to keep you informed upon what time that it is. Amen. Amen. Brother Jason, just say a little something for the Lord here real quick tonight. Aren't we glad to have Brother Jason Wilbanks?
Just glad to be here. I'm glad the presence of God is in this place, and I'm looking forward to great service.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jordan.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I count it an honor to be able to travel such a long distance with Brother Holland, and I just thank God, because I know he's going to do some great things in this place tonight.
Thank God for these young men. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. Doesn't the musicians and singers do a great job around here? And let's not forget the sound people and the media people that keep everything running around here. Every once in a while, instead of maybe being a little caustic or critical, just stop by and say, thank you, sound man. Thank you, media person. Thank you, singers and musicians. Because, folks, if we ever think it's all going to be just right to fit us, it ain't. You tell me that your home is perfect. No. So in a church, that's why some people like it cold and some like it hot. Some like it loud, some like it soft. Some like it slow, some like it fast. But that's why we are called family. families just learn how to accommodate one another and how to get along with one another and to love one another. And that's why this church is such a great church, is because it is a family church. Well, I appreciate you seven people clapping your hands. Amen. Verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing unto the church, unto God for him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of church I want to belong to. Is when I'm in trouble, they're praying for me. We can't just pray for people. Oh, help me, Lord. I already feel something coming in this house. We just can't pray for people who we think deserve being prayed for. Oh, yeah. You know, we like to try to select the elect. Well, if they hadn't have been so ornery, then they wouldn't have got in trouble. Or if they hadn't have been so bad, or if they would have just come to church. I think that we as a body just keep praying for people because God wants everybody to be free. Aren't you glad somebody prayed for you? You ain't always been what you should have been, but nobody gave up on you. Somebody prayed you out of trouble. Somebody prayed you out of your prison. Just in case I don't get back to that. Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, please notice, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Notice, I may not get back to all this, but it said that when the angel touched him and said, "Get up," when he got up, the chains fell off. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals," and he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." We're going somewhere. He went out and followed him and did not know that it was true, but he thought thought he saw a vision. Otherwise, he thinks he's just dreaming. This ain't really happening to him. They got past the first ward and the second ward, and then they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them. Somebody say them. It opened to them of his own accord. Now notice it's referring to Peter there. Unto his own accord. The angel didn't open up that gate. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was coming to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Anybody say in Jesus' name? Let's clap our hands and thank God what's about to come on us. I thank you, God, for bringing us out. I thank you, God, for setting us free. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do for somebody else in this house in the next few moments. I thank you for the baptism of freshness and power and authority. We're going to leave nothing behind. We're going to leave nothing undone. It's going to be to the fullest, to the maximum tonight. I thank you, Jesus. And somebody shout, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Brother, is it Collins, I think? Thank you so much for the arrangements for us today. Thank you, those who were responsible for the fruit basket. Thank you. He did not, if you're sitting there thinking, "Oh, somebody ought to tell him he forgot the offering." He did not forget the offering. He told me that he would take it later because we can get more out of you after the preaching than before the preaching. No, he didn't say that, folks. But he don't worry. We're not going to get that from you. You're going to give it because we don't get it from you. That's something you get to do. I don't have to give. I get to give. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, please notice with me for just a short time where that the Apostle Peter was. Now, Notice the last verse of scripture I read, that he delivered him from Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. There are some people that are expecting you to fail. There are some people expecting you not to make it. Matter of fact, there are some people that would like for you to not make it. Now, you may not think you have people like that, but there are people out there that says, I hope you fail. I hope you don't make it, because they believe, because they didn't make it, that you can't make it. And so something inside of the Apostle Peter was saying, I am going to be delivered from Herod and the expectation of the Jews. I don't know about you, but I am going to cause my enemies to not gloat over what they think is going to happen to me. You may expect that I'm going to fail, but I'm not going to fail you. You may think I'm going to give up, but I ain't giving up now. You may think I may last for a little while, but I'm not going to last just for a little while. You think this shout's going to be out, but this shout ain't going to be out. What I got now is for the remaining part of my life. I don't care what you expect. You may expect me to fail, give up, die, roll over and shut up, but I ain't about to shut up, die, and roll over. I got in this thing. God's delivered me, and I don't care what you expect out of me. I ain't giving up. Hallelujah. I like to let my enemies know you ain't about to do what you think you are. I like challenges. I just got a feeling this church loves challenges. I don't think the devil does a whole lot around here, because he knows he can't do a whole lot around here. You know, the devil only operates where he's not challenged. That's where he operates. I mean, if he senses any challenge at all, he said, I don't think I want to go there. That's why the devil always works behind the scenes in the lives of people who don't accept the challenge that he brings to them. He don't care how much you come to church. He just don't want you doing nothing when you get there. He don't mind how many years you've been in church. Just don't do nothing when you get there. He don't care how much you look good. He don't want you to do nothing when you get there. But I've learned a long time ago, everything the devil thinks I ain't going to do, that's exactly what I'm going to do. He says, you ain't going to shout. I want you to listen to this. He thinks I ain't going to shout a hallelujah. Then you turn your hearing aid up, devil. I don't care what you expect out of me. I'm not dying. I ain't giving up. I ain't going back. You can expect me to fail, but I'm expected to come out of this thing. See, the devil's expecting that if he puts enough pressure on you, you're going to give up. Because he knows he's done that before. He's turned the crank tight enough on some people. He's put enough hell in people's life and havoc and confusion. He knows what some people can take, because he's been a master at this a long time. Don't you think the devil don't know where your weak point is? Don't you think, oh, help me, Jesus. Don't you think he don't know where your pressure points are, honey? He knows where your pressure points are. And that's why when you get down just a little bit, he finds one of them and he puts that on. So, if I grind you hard enough, if I grind you long enough, you ain't gonna make it. But I got a feeling that if he's expecting this old boy and that old girl to give up here, he better think something else. I didn't come this far to give up. If you think I gave up that world to get in here and go back, you're wrong. If you think I got healed to go back to being sick again, you're wrong. If you think I got the Holy Ghost to go back to hell, you're wrong. You can expect all you want out of me, but I ain't going to live under your expectation. I'm going to live under the faith and the expectation that what God started, God's going to finish in me. Yeah. Yeah, the devil knows. He knows where to put it on. You know he does. He don't wait. He leaves you alone while you're up. You think he's gonna bother you while you're hooping and hollering and running around this building tonight? He's gonna get you when you get home tonight. He's gonna try to wake you up in the midnight with a heartburn or a headache. He's gonna try to wake you up in the morning when you get up. He's gonna try to tell you, what you got last night ain't nothing. You got the same devil to fight. You're right, devil. He said your family's still gonna be the same. You may be right, but I'm going to tell you something. What you expect out of me is not going to happen. Honey, you can't live under the Help me, Jesus. You can't live under the expectancy that I'm going to fail. You can't live under the expectancy that I'm not going to make it. Amen. He said, God delivered me from the expectation. There's some people that's looking at you say, I'll give you 6 months and you won't even be here. I'll give you 3 years. You won't even know what God is. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost trying to tell some of you that what the devil expects out of you, you tell him you are a liar. If you think I'm giving up, I am not. I may be down today, but I will be up again. I can't shout like I want to shout, but I will shout again. I may be sick and down, but I will be up and out. I've come to tell somebody, oh Jesus, I know the devils expect the church to go down. That's okay, but it ain't going down. It's going up. I know the devil expects that I'm going to die with cancer, but I'm not dying with cancer. I will be delivered from the expectation of the devil. I will be delivered from the expectation of those who says I can't make it. I ain't living under the expectation of somebody else. That's what the Lord sort of popped in my mind with while y'all was worshiping, and I ain't got nothing to do with what I'm going to be preaching if I even get to that. He just said, I want you to tell them that what people's expecting out of them, you got some, oh, mercy, you got some family members that ain't expecting you to do this. They looking at you, they looking down the gun barrel at you and say, amen. I know all about that power. I know all about that Holy Ghost. I know about that God of living. It ain't going to last long. It won't be to the first storm. And you'll be waves up top of you, and you'll be under that water, and you'll be drowned. I want to tell you, God called me to tell you tonight that I am going to deliver some of you from the expectation of the devil. I said, he's going to deliver you from the expectation of the devil. He thinks it ain't going to work, but it is going to work. He says, you're going to die, but I shall live. He says, you won't be here long. I'll stake my claim. In Jesus' name, I will be delivered from the expectation of the devil. He knows how to work on you, baby. He knows how to work on you. Yeah, he does. He knows just when to do it. Not just how to do it. He knows when to do it. He knows exactly when you get in the right posture, position to put a little heaviness on you. He knows that if he can just get you at the right moment when your faith is at its weakest and you're even struggling to get up and pray. You're even struggling to get to church. You're struggling to get your hands up. Honey, he just said, okay, I'm going to put the killer blow on right now. I'm going to put the death blow on them right now. I've come to tell some people in Birmingham, God is going to deliver you from the expectation of the devil. He says, I can get. He is not going to do what he says he can do to me. He says, I'll wear you out. He ain't going to wear me out. He says, I'll wear you down. He ain't going to wear me down. He said, I'll get you somehow. You can't get to me because the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. Before the devil can get to me, he's got to get past my angel. I said, he's got to get past my angel. And I ain't never seen the devil whip an angel yet because the power of God is in those angels. Right now, be ready to receive everything that the enemy has expected you to conform to. Every power that the enemy says that he can seduce you with and he can bring you under his power, he can't do that in the name of the Lord. I send a surge of the Spirit of God into your body right now, and it will drown and wipe out every confusion thing inside of you, and you shall arise in the power and the spirit of victory. And what the devil said in the intent to devour you, I can't.
cast out right now in the name of Jesus, and you shall be made whole in the name of the Lord. I thank you for that. Somebody clap your hand and shout a hallelujah. He will deliver me from the expectation of the enemy. You see, the devil is a fiend foe. He knows how to go about roaring. He knows how to go to and fro. That's what the Bible says. He like a roaring lion going to and fro. He tries to seek whom he may devour. That's what he's doing. But oh my Lord, I read a scripture today that says the eyes... the eyes of the Lord run to and fro upon the earth. Upon the earth. The eyes of the Lord are upon the earth. And he said he is going to fight for them. He will show himself strong to those whose hearts are perfect toward him. I want to let the devil know tonight, you may be going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom you may devour. But there is a God that goes about, and his eyes are going to and fro, and he's trying to find somebody that he can show himself mighty to. So while the devil's trying to devour, God's showing himself mighty. While the devil's trying to put down, God's come to build up. I've come to tell you, I'm on the winning side. I don't care what the devil may do. God says, I'm going to show myself mighty. So come on, devil. You can't stop the power. You can't stop the dominion. You can't stop the demonstration of the power of God. My God. That just came to me, Bubba. It just flapped through my brain there, Brother Jason. I mean, here the devil goeth about. But while you're going about, devil, the eyes of the Lord. I'm trying to find somebody I can show myself mighty to. I'm looking for the afflicted and the depressed. I'm looking for the down and outer. I'm looking for the one that says, God, if you don't help me, I can't make it. Don't you worry about not making it. There's something on the inside of you that was born to make it. I ain't never seen God fail yet. But why is it God answered me? I ain't got that answer. I wish I knew why everybody doesn't get healed. But you know what? Oh, help me, Lord. Somebody told me the other day, I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed, and neither can I explain how God heals either. So let's just wipe out that question right now. We wiped our foreheads for years and I don't know why God heals some and don't heal me. You tell me why God heals those that don't heal me. Why does God heal people to start with? It's because of his blood that was shed. I can't explain why God don't heal, and I can't explain how God heals. I don't know how God just took the tumor out. I can't explain how God just put the back together. I can't explain how God just put the arm back stretched out. I can't explain how the leprosy left a man that was full of leprosy. I can't explain how God did that. So neither am I going to try to tell you. I don't know why God don't heal everybody. I don't know how God heals anybody. I just know he's a healer. And I know the devil can't do what he says. You got to get on your feet. You got to lift your head and say, I will not be under the expectancy of the devil. He will not dominion. He will not dominate my life. Jesus. So he delivered him. He delivered him. Now, some of y'all tonight are saying, well, what's in this for me? I'll tell you what's in this for you. There are some of you here tonight who the scripture just I read to you, where the Apostle Peter was in a prison and the church was praying for him. But did you notice what he was doing while the church was praying? He was what? Sleeping. What was he sleeping between? Two guards. Now, I don't know about y'all folks, But if God just took some things off of her, she living in another world right now. She free. She free. She free. Yeah, she free. I don't know, but if a couple of Birmingham police right now walked in here and escorted me out and chained me to them and took me down to y'all's local jail and flopped down beside me chained up, I'd have a hard time going to sleep tonight. Huh? Yeah, I know that's right. I mean, you may, I could just sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. Ain't no way. I'd be saying, my God, somebody bail me out of here. God, where are you? What did I do to deserve this? That help me. Look, that's our problem, is we want to get out of everything instead of go through some things. If God don't ever let you go through something, how are you ever going to know how good God is? If God never lets you go through a sickness, how are you ever going to know he's a deliverer? If God never lets you have any trouble, how are you ever going to know that he can bring you out? But I don't want that. You're right. That's our problem. All we want God for is to keep doing and doing and doing. When God says, I got to write another book of Acts because, help me, God, have mercy. There's an anointing in there. There is not an amen to the book of Acts if you recognize that. That's why that the continual acts of those apostles ought to keep going on and on and on. If nobody gets in jail, how can God ever deliver anybody? If there's never a mother-in-law sick with fever, how is anybody ever going to stretch their hand up and raise her up and the fever's gone? If there's never a lame man at a gate, how is there ever going to be a lame man that can walk and run? So why don't you quit complaining to God about what's wrong in your life and start thanking God that God gets to get some glory? This is not just for me. This is for his glory. We become, if we're not careful, the church of criticism. And the church of blaming God and everybody else of why things ain't going right with me. I wanted you to know, how in the world can we shout in this church about the delivering power of God if somebody's not bound? I heard you all tonight talk about a woman that was delivered who was demon possessed. If she'd not been demon possessed, how could God ever deliver her? Why don't you quit cursing the darkness? Quit cursing. All things work together for the good to them that love God. Does anybody in this house love God? Raise your hand. Then quit condemning and damning everything that's going on in your life. Quit cursing because you don't have finances. Quit disbelieving because your world's upside down. Quit having a hard time because my boss is not giving me the raise that I deserve. It looks like that everything that I touch is getting ready to fall apart. I don't understand why my family that used to be all in church, but now they're not. I can't figure all that out. Let me tell you, when you start figuring out God, you don't need God. But that's why God says you don't need to figure me out. You just need to trust my hand. You need to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. If I let you know everything I'm going to do, you ain't going to need me. I just want you to learn how to get up every morning and walk by faith. I want you to learn how to say, God, I still trust you. I can't see you, but I trust you. I can't feel you, but I trust you. I don't know where you are, but I trust you. You don't have to heal me to make me believe in you. I believe. That's why you're going to heal me. Y'all didn't hear that. I got to say that again. Lord, if you heal me, I'll believe. But he says you got it backwards. I don't heal you so you believe. I want you to believe so I can heal you. I can't heal you to believe. I can't heal you till you trust me. I can't bring you out until you believe. I can't give you the raise until you believe. I can't bring your wayward boy back to church till you believe. I can't deliver you from nicotine till you believe. I can't take the alcohol off your lips until you believe. It's not seeing to believe. It's believing to see. Well, there's some of you right now that's just screaming out at me right now. I can just feel this. Oh God. Because you're living on the expectation. You're living under the expectation that it's not going to work out. You're living under the drama of what if God doesn't. But let me ask you the question, what if God does? Huh? Yeah, but oh, Lord Jesus. You're living under that fear and that concept of, if God loved me, why did they let this happen to me? That's why God does love us sometimes, because he lets things happen to us so he can get some glory. You see, God, oh, help me, Lord. I ain't got much. I can't preach all night here. Where did we ever get this concept that God is for my comfort? Where do we ever get this idea that God's concerned about making me happy all the time? Oh, we got that. All of us got that concept. I mean, God's there to give me money, and God's there to give me things, and God's there to make me happy, and God's there to heal my body, and God's there to always be given to me. I mean, that's what God's for. Oh, really? And after a while, we get disillusioned in thinking, well, that's what God's supposed to do. But when God doesn't give it to me, and I don't feel like I'm healed, and I don't get my deliverance, and I don't get what I asked for, then we get this idea, now, God, what have I done? That's the next thing the devil works on you with. What have I done wrong? You see, that's what happened in John chapter 9 when there's a man born blind. And they said, who did sin, him or his parents? He said, nobody sinned. The reason this boy is blind is so that I might be glorified. Have you considered the reason you haven't got the job you wanted? It's because God hasn't given you the job you need. Have you wondered why that you haven't got healed yet? It's because God is waiting to a certain He's waiting to a certain moment when he can get the glory and the praise. So help me. Why don't some of y'all just say, God, I thank you that I'm sick. I thank you my boy's backslid. I thank you I'm broke. I'm thinking my life is miserable. Because God, you told me in the word that the end would be better than the beginning. I start thanking you right now that you're going to get some glory. I'm going to be able to stand up and tell people how God blessed me. I'm going to be able to show the doctor, you see this x-ray, now look at this x-ray. If it hadn't been for my cancer in my lung, God would have never got the glory of healing the cancer in my lung. I've come to tell you, the devil expects this church to give up. He expects some of you people to go down. He expects you to surrender your faith. But I've come to tell the devil tonight, what you expect of me is not going to happen. What you expect of me is not going to happen. God is on my side. Look at somebody and say, don't expect me to give up. Look at somebody and say, don't expect me to fail. Uh-huh. Can y'all stay in a couple more minutes? I got to get Peter out of jail here. He's sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. I mean, here he is. Grab my arms. Yeah, grab my arms. Hold tight. You got me tight? Is that tight as you can go? There you go. I won't feel those biceps. Is that what they are? Concepts, biceps, something. Is that all you got, brother? There you go. Bound. Bound. Somebody say bound. That's what happens to us sometimes. We get bound. Bound. Bound where we can't do nothing. He bound him up. That's what the devil wants to do. If he could ever bind you up, if he could ever bind your hands and bind your feet and bind your mouth and bind your mind, you ain't going to be able to think right. You ain't going to be able to speak right. You ain't going to be able to lift your hand. Thank you, Bubba. You ain't going to be able to lift your voice to God because he's got your back. He was bound by two soldiers with two chains. But then, somebody say, but then, I've come to tell you there's always a then coming. Look at somebody say, there's a then coming. There's a thin coming. I may be out, but there's a thin coming. I may be sick and have a bad migraine right now. I may have to walk back in my house and there ain't much on my shelf. And it looks like that the refrigerator's almost empty and I'm about to zero in my bank account, but there's coming a thin. And then the Spirit of the Lord moved. And then God delivered. And then the angels of the Lord showed up. Devil, you better watch out. I'm about to have a then. And when I have a then, you're about to have a now. The angel of the Lord came in that prison and the light shined in there and he smote Peter on the side. Smote him. I don't know. I ain't looked that up. Some of y'all go in your Greek lexicon, look up what smote means. He smote him now. I don't know what smote means. I mean, smoke could be a real smote, you know. Or it might just be a little smote, you know. But he smote him on the side. And he said, get up! Now, what would some of you all do? Whew, Jesus. What you don't understand is what God is doing in this church. You don't understand the angels of the Lord that says, I told Brother Jason and Brother Jordan on the way tonight, I said, God has been saying to churches I've been going to, my hand is open to you. My hand is open to you. What will you take from me? Some of you all have been discouraged so long in your life. You have been so down. You're trying to figure this thing out. You're trying to say, God's blessing Mike and Sally and Joe and Pete. And I don't understand why God would bless them more than he's blessing you. You got to understand, God has a timing to every. My God, there's so much I got to preach. There's a timing to so much from God. And you got to wait for your time, a time and a season. But when Brother Mike gets healed, you ought to be on your feet and say, thank God, Brother Mike got healed. When Sister Sally raises up her check and said, God just gave me twice as much as I was supposed to make this week. Thank God that Sister Sally made it. Why? Because my then is coming and the devil expects me. You can't live by what the devil's expecting out of you. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Give me a keyboard player. Come on back, baby. We're getting ready to end this thing. I'll pick this. I'll come back next Wednesday night. Is that all right? Yeah. He's already asked me. I'm not saying I am. He already told me I was. Y'all ready for this? Jesus. And so he smote him on the side. He said, rise up quickly. Oh, Jesus. Let's lift our hands right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I praise you for what you'll be. Oh, the bestowing upon this church right now, the baptism, God, of a fresh expectancy. Not an expectant a feeling of defeat. Not an expectant feeling of dying and drowning out. Not an expectant feeling of, God, why am I in this? But an expectancy to believe in that God is about to work things out in my life. I am about to come. Jesus, thank you. I got to pray for you too. Is that all right? Amen. Jesus, I thank you for this couple tonight. Now, Lord, there's been confusion that has tried to simply seduce their minds and bring them in to an air and a spirit that, God, you just aren't going to do what you promised in the beginning that you were going to do. But God, I rescind and recede right now every spirit of interference in this couple. I command that everything that's been attempting to take away, every spirit that has tried to tear them down and tried to not tear them down but tear them apart, I send by the Spirit of the Almighty God a fresh expectancy in their life that God is going to help me and God is going to breathe a fresh touch of His Spirit upon my life, and I will not let the enemy and what he expects is going to be the outcome. I thank you, God, for reversing it right now. What the attempt the devil said was going to take place, I speak to both of you that God reverses it right now. I said, God reverses it. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost will empower this young man. There will be a strength. I speak into his spirit. I speak the power of God into his mind. And every tormenting thought that has come of late, it shall not be able to derive any fear. Somebody clap your hands and shout yes. So the expectation of the devil. You see, he misunderstands my movements. Oh God, this is so good, my God. He just keeps giving me stuff right now, He misunderstands my movements. He sees me walking in here and my step ain't real high. He thinks, I just about got him. He sees you walking in here and your face is just a little drooped and it ain't praising God. He's, I'm about to ravage them tonight. It's about over. I about got them. God is going to deliver me from the expectation of the devil. He expects me to fail. Let me finish. He's bound with two chains, two soldiers. An angel comes, smites him on the side, and says, arise quickly. And the Bible says, and I said it a while ago, but I'm coming back. And when he got up, somebody said, when he got up, what happened? Thank you, Bubba. The chains fell off. I do not believe that those chains would have fallen off had he not got up. Honey, you can't stay down and chains fall off. You hear me? If I'm sitting down here and I'm all chained up, how are they gonna fall off if I'm sitting down? But when I get up, that's what the devil hates. He knows if you ever get up, if you ever get up out of your depression, if you ever get up out of your hatred, if you ever get up out of your envy, if you ever get up out of your critical spirit, he knows if I ever get up, those chains, they're going to start falling off. Why do you think he tries to keep you down so much? Why do you think he tries to keep you depressed so much? Why do you think he tries to put his foot on you so much? Because he knows if you ever get up, that's what's going to, you're free. Honey, you got to get up. Look at somebody say, get up. Look at somebody say, get up. Come on. You got to get up. You got to get up. You can't stay down. You say, I don't feel like getting up. You got to get up. Time to get up. It's time to get up. Boy, I remember the last time I was here, I just had a brainwave. I asked y'all to do something, didn't I? Anybody remember that? I asked y'all to get up at what time in the morning? 3:00. I ain't gonna embarrass you that didn't do it, but some of us did do it. I drove home that night. I drove from here to Tennessee. I got home, 1:00, 1:30, 2:00 in the morning. If I recollect, my wife said, what are you setting the clock at 3:00 for? No, I went back. No, I went to my room. She asked me next time. She said, why did you set your clock at 3:00 at home for? I said, because I got in my room and I said, now listen, receptionist, because I stand here at the Hampton, and I said, you call me at 3:00. She said, you leaving? No, I'm getting up to pray. You are? I said, yeah. I can get up and pray at 3:00. So thank all of you that got up at 3:00 in the morning and prayed. Let's thank God for that victory tonight. It brought some victory. It's been a habit ever. Come on, Sunday, look at tonight. The devil said, I expect. You better not expect me nothing, devil. Okay. 42 minutes, I'm done. That's five more than I wanted to go. So here we go. He got up. He got up. He thought he saw a vision. Man, there was too much garlic and onions last night on my pizza. And them anchovies tore me up. I'm seeing a vision. There's an angel here. I tell you what, I don't care if I'm dreaming or not dreaming. If I have a vision with an angel, I'm going to walk, baby. Yeah. I'm done losing some of y'all. And so he got to the first ward. It opened up to them. The angels leading. He got to the second ward. The angels leading. Something happened. Because the Bible said it opened up to them. And look at the reference. It's talking about the Apostle Peter. It opened up to them on his own accord. Angels can only lead you so far. Pastors can only lead you so far. Some things only open up on your own accord. That's why right now, they're getting ready to sing. And you're getting ready to walk up here if you ain't already up here. And you're getting ready to believe and expect that God is going to do something for me in this service. And God is going to do something for me tomorrow. How you feel, sister? You feel better? What do you mean, uh-uh? You got to say it. Come on, say hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, I ain't dying. Devil, I ain't giving up. Devil, I'm going to make it. Devil, I'm going on. I gotta pray for this sister right there in that little check right there in the red right there. With glasses. Would you mind just meeting me about halfway up here and just believing that God's gonna take care of some things? Is that all right? You accept that? Thank you, Jesus. It ain't gonna be like it is anymore, sister. What was will not be any longer after right now. The thing you need God to do the most right now, God steps in and God will eradicate, totally, absolutely remove that. It shall not be a bother and a hindrance to you anymore in the name of the Lord. But your faith causes you to step out of the expectancy of the enemy and the thing the devil says he has brought upon you and you'll have to live with. You will not have to live with by the power and in the name of Jesus Christ, because right now you walk out of your prison and you walk past the last obstacle in your life and you walk to freedom by the blood of the Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. And so he got through the first ward. The second ward came to the iron gate that opened up to the city. You see, it's one thing to be in the wards and be free. If he didn't get past the wards and get to the iron gate, he would have never got out of the prison. It opened. You see, what happens to us, folks, is that we go through these motions and we get such feelings of God and feel such demonstrations, but we never get free. The chains were off notice and the two wards were behind him, but he had to come to his last final obstacle, and that was the iron gate. You see, the devil don't mind you being half healed. The devil don't mind you being half filled. The devil don't mind you being half in the church. The devil don't mind you doing some things, but he don't want you getting out of the last thing that got you bound. He don't know, won't you finally get total deliverance? As long as you feel better, that's enough. As long as you got a little God, that's enough. But the devil says, you're not coming out of that prison totally. I've come to tell some of you tonight that this is not a night to dance in between the wards. It's a night to come out of that prison. It's a night to go past that gate and say, God, I am free and delivered once and for all. Woo! Somebody do that. Woo! Jesus. So what do you get up to and can't get through? What do you get close to but can't get through? What do you get near but can't feel? Come on up here as many as that would you? Y'all getting ready? Y'all are bad. I want you to know y'all are just flat bad. I've been to 3 churches and I told them, I said, my God, you go to Birmingham, it is bad. It's rocking bad. Just bad. It's kind of, if y'all ain't been down to Eva, Alabama lately, now, folk, it's bad there too, folk. My God, it's bad at Eva, Alabama. Woo! Okay. Now, what you think is not always the way that it is. Because we think, and I believe in the laying hands. The Bible talks about the doctrine of laying on the hands. I believe that. I do that. I lay hands on people different times, pray over people, and that's okay. But no, nobody has to always pray for you to be delivered. That just doesn't have to be. I mean, he even had an angel with him, and he sidestepped and went in front of that angel because the angel says, there's some things I can bring you through. There's other things you've got to get through. And you can't always rely upon somebody else to get you through some things. So, what are you battling in your life that you almost get through? What do you almost get freed from? What is it that you almost get victory over? But then you don't get it, so you just sort of back up and say, well, at least I'm not bound in chains with 2 soldiers in prison. At least I'm out of the prison cell. At least I'm not back in the sin I used to be in. At least I'm not doing what I used to do. Now, I may not be what I need to be, and I may not have all the victory that I want, but it's better than being in the prison bound with 2 chains. But you really don't have total victory either. Anybody ever know God to open one eye of a blind man, leave the other one blind? Huh? When that crippled man got healed, did he still have to drag one leg behind him? I don't think God starts something in us and expects us to stay the way we were, half blind, half healed, half delivered. That's what's wrong now, is the devil doesn't mind you doing some things, but he don't want you getting final, complete victory over that thing. But tonight, there's going to be some things in your life you're going to get final, complete, total, absolute victory over. Things that you used to have to fight with, I'm putting them behind me tonight. Things I used to think I have to watch every once in a while, I ain't going back and watching them anymore. Things I thought I had to come out of my mouth every once in a while, it ain't never come out of my mouth again. Some attitudes that I thought I used to have, I ain't having that at all. I'm getting out of this prison once and for all. I just feel like the Lord spoke to me and told me there's a new level that is getting ready to accentuate in this house. There's a new level we're getting ready to again. Because some things you lived with, you ain't going to live with no more after tonight. Some feelings and oppression that got hold of you, you ain't going to live with. I'm coming so far. I'm coming out. Now, the devil expects some of you all to live with some things. Don't you live with the sickness? Don't you live with the disease? Don't you live with the harassment? Don't you live with anything you don't want to live with? He said, I come to set you free. And here's what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to lift our hands in just a moment. And when we do, we're going to let out a cry of praise to God, and they're going to start singing. And according to your faith, when you lift your hands, here's what's going to happen between now and Sunday. There'll be some things in some people's households that will change between now and Sunday. You'll be able to remark to your pastor when you get a chance to tell him, "Pastor, things happened in my household. There's some attitude changes. There's some environment changes that happened in my household. I feel to tell somebody right now that there's been conflict on your job. But before Friday afternoon is over, there will be some resolving of some There will be some families. There are people here tonight that there is some families that are dispersed. There are some families that are at odds with one another. I speak to you tonight in the name of the Lord that there will become phone calls and there will be a gathering between now and Sunday of some of you that have had breakages in your family and people that hadn't spoke to you in years, because in just a moment you're about to put things behind you once and for all. I'm not living in that dilemma. I ain't living with that hatred in my heart. I ain't living with that attitude. If they want to talk to me, they can talk. God have mercy. You're about to see some families brought to God because you're going to mend some things, and the Holy Ghost is bringing you out because. So whatever it is you got, you can't get through. You almost get there, but you just can't finalize it. The Lord just spoke to me. You almost get there. You almost are free from it. And you get so far and it just shoo. Shoo. The Lord spoke to me about you a while ago when you were in the pew. And there's going to be some things that the Lord is going to take care of for you. Things that you have been troubled and disturbed about. It doesn't come often, but it's just at the right time to try to set you back and keep you under its gnarling grasp. But I say to you, not in the name of the Lord, you are coming out totally, completely. And that which afflicted you a long time ago is not having the power anymore. I release every sting. I set her out of that totally and completely. I mark her days right now in the name of the Lord. I mark her days as being days free from that. No longer you no longer have to be afraid, because God has put upon you a freedom and a liberty that you can rejoice in the Lord. No matter what was taken from you, God will restore that back in the name of Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready to say, God, I'm not living under the expectancy of the devil. Oh, you see, the devil expects you to live there. I ain't living there. Are you ready to send him some high praise to God? When you lift your hands, you gotta lift your faith. When you lift your mouth, you gotta lift your faith. I will come out in the name of Jesus. I will be delivered in the name of Jesus. I will be free in the name of Jesus. I will be whole in the name of Jesus. My family will be saved in the name of Jesus. I won't settle for just part of my family. I want the rest of my family. I'm coming out. coming to come out. I'm not living. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Yeah, 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 yeah. My finances are coming out with me.